Good morning. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. Thanks for joining us. This morning, as always, we have a fun and interesting guest. Does everybody know you as Tony Loco?
Yeah, that's what everybody calls me.
Yep. But Loco's not your real last name.
Nah.
That's probably a good thing.
Yep.
You own Tony Loco's restaurant and a new restaurant in Mount Airy. Welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you.
You have embedded yourself so beautifully within the Woodbine and Mount Airy communities. When you walk into Tony Loco's, you know that you've walked into something special. It jumps out and says, this is our home, this is who we are, and we are part of your community. And it's loud and clear on the walls.
Nice.
Is that your design from the beginning?
Pretty much. You know, my wife's Puerto Rican, so we have a little bit of Puerto Rican food on the menu. So when we went to Puerto Rico to do some research, I noticed that a lot of things that they have in their restaurants were things that were going to play well here in Woodbine.
Okay.
You know, a lot of wood, corrugated metal. So, you know, you'll see that in a restaurant. And then obviously the artwork was something that I added in. But I wanted to incorporate wood into the restaurant. So, you know, when you walk in there, there's wood almost everywhere.
I'll be darned. I always thought that was Mount Airy, Woodbine, farming, rural. But it's Puerto Rico.
Well, Puerto Rico too. It's kind of a combination. You know, a lot of the places that we went into a lot of places that weren't in town in Puerto Rico. That's where I wanted to really get the feel of what bars and restaurants are like. And there was a lot of wood. That being said, I was like, okay, that's going to play well here in Woodbine. And the wood on the walls I got from two Amish companies.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great look. So it fits in well here with the barns and all the farms and, you know, the country.
It plays incredibly well. When you walk into a restaurant, you said earlier, you eat with your eyes first. Does that meal start with the ambiance in the restaurant or does it start with the food when it hits the table?
For me, the ambiance. I'm a customer too. I love going out to eat. I gravitate to places, not necessarily for the food or the service. It's how I feel inside the restaurant.
Okay.
So to answer your question, the ambiance first. Because before you see the food, you sit down and you look around and, you know, you'll say to yourself, you know what? I feel comfortable here already. Or it could turn you the other way too. So to me, the ambiance is the first thing.
When you were thinking about your ambiance, taking the trip to see what sort of environment you wanted, why did you pick the topics that are reflected in your murals?
It's kind of changed. You know, the one wall's gone now. Right. When we expanded, you know, so they kind of changed from there. But what's on the wall now are things from the community, things that mean a lot to me, you know, personally, things that I like. You know, I come from a military family. My dad was in World War II. So there is a couple things on the walls. My dad's on the wall and I have some military on the wall. My dad loved crabs, okay. Old Bay, oysters, baseball. So, you know, some of the things that I like, music, one part of the wall, there's a bunch of musicians, all the different genres of music that I like. And obviously, I wanted to incorporate the neighborhood, you know, the community into it. So hence the farms, the hunting pictures, the farms, you know, a lot of the local farms on the wall are people that we've done fundraisers for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you walk in, it's a really unique experience. It says, welcome to our home. And this is part of your community.
There you go.
But you're not from Woodbine.
Nope.
Where are you from?
I'm a city boy. I grew up in Little Italy in Baltimore City.
Did you grow up in the restaurant business?
Started when I was 14.
Wow.
Yeah. And in our neighborhood, which back then was the mecca of restaurants, you know, Little Italy, that's what you did. If you wanted to get a job, you know, you worked either for a bricklayer or in a restaurant. Yeah.
So I got to ask, what was your first job? Bussing tables?
No. Actually, I started out at Ciparelli's washing dishes.
Ciparelli's is a well-known name.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I started there and I worked there for about 4 months. I remember it was a Saturday night. The one bus girl didn't show up. So they took me out of the kitchen and put me on the floor. And after one night there, I didn't want to go back in the kitchen. So I went to the manager. I said, look, you know, can you move me out there? And he said, no. So I left the job. Then about a month later, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who was working at Sabatino's, which was even busier than Ciparelli's. And I got a busboy job there. Then that was it. I fell in love with it.
The pause was I was thinking, is Sabatino's still there?
It is still there. Okay. Little Italy's not doing as well. COVID really took a turn. And then a lot of things around Little Italy affected it. Harbor East has really put a hurting into them.
Well, I haven't been to that restaurant, Sabatino's, in a long time. I think I'm going to have to make a reservation.
Yeah.
After this, here we go.
Yeah.
When did you decide that restaurant business was for you?
I was 16.
So 2 years after your first job, you're like, this is what it is. And off air, you had said a lot of your friends had decided to go on to college and do different things, but you were the first one to hit the business journal.
Yep.
How did you get there?
Well, that was during, well, actually, it kind of started right before COVID, the week before COVID. It was the toilet paper.
I love the toilet paper thing.
Yeah.
We ate a lot of tacos. I have to disclaimer this. We ate a lot of tacos from Tony Loco's because my husband drives by the Circle in Lisbon, so he would stop on his way home because we were tired of eating our own food. It's not that it wasn't bad food. It wasn't good food. It was just like, something else, please. Friday night, and when you sent the rolls of toilet paper with each order, we still laugh about that today.
Yeah. I remember the week before we were shut down, people were walking in a restaurant complaining that they couldn't find toilet paper because I think it was starting already, you know? So I called at the time where we were using Leonard paper was our, where we were getting all our paper and plastic from. So I called my rep and I asked him, I said, do you guys have toilet paper? He said, we got tons of it. I said, well, send me 10 cases. So we just started sticking it in the carryout orders.
It was hysterical.
Yeah. It kind of caught on, you know?
Oh my gosh. It was tongue-in-cheek and it was just perfect. It was the humor you needed in that time period.
Yeah. I mean, not only was it funny, it served a purpose.
Yeah.
People really couldn't find toilet paper.
Wow.
You know, my wife would be down the dollar store or down Food Lion and somebody would recognize her and say, hey, you're at a restaurant that's giving away toilet paper. And they would ask her, you know, even if I don't buy anything, can I come by? And I said, send them by. So people would walk in, we give them a roll, you know, who cares?
Wow. Well, I love it.
But, you know,
I love it.
The funny thing is you know, my mouth always gets me in trouble. So I did an interview early on and I said, somebody asked me, well, how long are you going to do it? I said, well, I'll continue to do it until we can let people in the building. So that was March, April, May. It was almost 3 months. I stopped doing it once we could let people in the building again, because I think for 3 months it was only carry out and delivery. People
couldn't
come in.
Toilet paper.
It was 3,554 rolls.
Not that you have a count.
Had my guy from Leonard Paper give it to me.
I love it.
Yeah.
We still chuckle about that. It's one of those things. Do you think we'll get a roll of toilet paper with our order this time? When you're going through COVID, restaurants got hit really hard. And you had been at this location. You had been solid in this location. When did your expansion at that location come in? Was it before or after COVID?
Oh, it was after. It was after. Yeah, I was only, I think I was a year, a little over a year in when COVID hit, because I opened up August 20th of 2018, and then we were shut down, I think, what was it, 20, I think it was. 20. It was actually the day before St. Patty's Day. It was March 16th.
That would be a hard day, because restaurants really like St. Patty's
Day. Oh, I had so much food in the building, I was worried.
So when you could start doing takeout again, were you allowed to do takeout right away, or did you have to wait a little bit?
The 16th, we had to shut down, I think around 4 or 5 o'clock, we had to shut down. So we shut down, then we opened up on the 17th, and that was when you weren't allowed to enter the restaurant. It was all takeout. Couldn't even do takeout drinks yet. That wasn't on the table yet. So it was just takeout food. Fortunate for me, our menu was already good for takeout. We were already doing a lot of takeout. So the transition, I was pretty fortunate. Higher end restaurants have more of a tough time. Because, you know, you don't usually go buy a $40, $50 steak for carryout. You eat it there. So the fact that our menu was already carryout accessible was actually a better transition than I thought it would be. Going into that holiday, we were loaded with food. And I remember meeting with, you know, my management staff on the 17th. And we were looking at each other. All right. So, you know, I had to let a bunch of people go.
I'm sure.
So we put baskets together for them. You know, I figured give them some food, give them something. I felt so bad, you know.
That's a great way to do it.
Yeah. So we gave a lot of the food away to our staff. You know, we had them come pick up baskets for them. But it's like we didn't skip a beat. You know, we opened up and we did a lot of carryout from day one. I had to add phone lines and then we just started doing delivery. You know, again, I was very fortunate. You know, we thought we were going to throw a lot of food away and we were ordering more food. So
wonderful.
I couldn't have been more fortunate to be in this area. We were in the perfect spot for that. So
when you reopened, many businesses, especially restaurants in the service industry that rely on labor,
are
not able to take advantage of the technology. And when I mean technology, COVID brought things forward in technology and backwards at the same time, depending on your view of it, self-checks. At the same time, there was a price increase for labor. Maryland changed their policies and it went to a $15 minimum wage, a living wage. And with those changes brought in technology, service industries can't bring in technology. You can't replace, you can't use robots like you would on a college campus to deliver that food. It's a personal, it's an extrovert position. It's a relationship position. Did you suffer from any of the changes during COVID? Did your folks come back? Did you have to hire new folks? What happened?
Yeah, the 3 months during the lockdown where we couldn't let anybody in the building, it got boring after a while, but it was actually pretty good for us because we were selling a lot of food. You know, we didn't have a lot of employees, we're selling a lot of food. Now, once we were allowed to let people in the building again, I would say that 12 months was the hardest 12 months I've ever had in the restaurant business. We were fighting a lot of things. It was hard getting employees to come back to work. Many of them were on, help me out here.
COVID benefits.
Yeah, benefits. Were, yeah. Benefits. Yeah, they were getting paid to stay home. And then also, it was really difficult adhering to what our limitations were. You know, 6 feet apart, people couldn't stand at the bar. So it was really tough telling people to put their mask on.
And that was controversial.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, I hope I never have to go through that again because, you know, I didn't want to get in trouble. I had the health department coming in at time to time. Hey, we heard people aren't
right.
Social distancing is the word I was looking for. We have reports people aren't wearing their masks. And a lot of people out here didn't want to do it.
Right. In the community as a whole.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm sure you went in other neighborhoods. They gladly did it, you know.
Yes. So even
it
was tough. Driving in cars, they were masking.
Yeah. Out here, it was tough. You know, I don't want to argue with people.
It puts the business owner in a hard position. You have to meet your state regulations to keep everybody safe. You don't want to become point of spreading contact. But then on the other hand, you've got to keep your community satisfied and your customers coming in and get that sense of community going because they want to be out and social. It's a hard place to be.
Yeah, people wanted to get out, you know. We were doing some live music out back.
Okay.
We originally had a big tent. We were doing that. It was impossible. You know, people were supposed to sit at their table. If they got up from their table, they had to be going to the bathroom. You couldn't even have them at the bar. There was no bar service at the time. So it was just impossible to keep people from moving around. I think at the time, you couldn't have more than 6 people at a table. So if an 8 top walked in or 10, I'd have to put them at 2 different tables. You know, that was kind of awkward. So, you know, that year, trying to follow all the guidelines and then not finding employees, it was definitely, without a doubt, the hardest year I've ever had in the restaurant business.
During that time, I vividly remember folks saying, you know, I supported during COVID. Everything was good. And now it's just not as good. The employees aren't as good.
Yeah.
The food's not as good. Everything's not as good. And it wasn't just one restaurant. It was the world has changed.
Yeah. I lost a few customers because one of my employees didn't have the mask all the way up, you know. And then I had to make a choice. Do I shut dining rooms down like some restaurants were doing? Do I cut off carry out because it's too busy? So I decided, no, I'm not going to shut down anything. So I'm just going to keep powering through it. However, I had to hire a lot of young kids that had never been in a restaurant business before, doing jobs that I normally would train them 2 to 3 months to do. So the first 3 months of that, you know, it was tough.
It was rough for lots of businesses.
Yeah, it was hard packing, you know, getting the carry out correct, you know, packing it up. Sometimes things got forgotten. You get the phone call and try and make it right. Yeah, most people, I'd say 99% of the people were forgiving and they were great during it. You know, they were over tipping the employees. It was a nice show of the community, but there are some people that we lost for various reasons.
And that's pretty normal.
Yeah, it happens, even happens now.
You know? Right, right.
It's part of business.
Yeah. Any business is going to run into it.
Yeah.
Any of our listeners who run their own business will be back there nodding their heads going, yes, yes, it is.
Yeah.
I think Benjamin Franklin had it correct. You can please some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all of the time.
Yeah.
You've made it through. When we come back, let's talk about how your background gave you the ability to expand and open another business. It's a double expansion, almost back to back.
Join me, Rayshan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.